what did I say? A company that has reputation. What I mean is this. If somebody gives you 50% of money up front and you say you will deliver, please, in the name of Jesus Christ, do what? Deliver. You get the point? Please, though, I told you that everything has what? Value. That when Oceanic Bank shares was going for 25 naira, 28 naira, those who had money bought. Now it is going for 8 naira. Those who have faith, they buy. Do you get my point? That is, the 20 naira difference is valued as what? Faith. So for every unit you buy, you are using 20 naira in faith, 8 naira in cash. There's a reason why I said that. The money you don't have, you use integrity and honesty and skill. Do you follow my point? To buy things. If somebody tells you, look, if you maybe want to do business as a businessman, and someone tells you, look, see that guy, I know whatever he says, take it for granted it is done. You will give him your money. You get what I'm saying? So if you are the one that wants to accept people's money without delivering goods, one thing you must build up over time is what? A track record of what? Honesty. Let me tell you something. The Bible says that better than money is a what? A good name. Nobody's lending you money. Nobody needs to lend you a good name. Are you getting my point? Nobody needs to lend you a good name. What am I discussing? How do you raise money to start your business? That's how you do it. You don't need plenty of money. You don't need it. The man I told you about at the beginning, I told my wife, this is the advice you give him. Tell him you don't need all of these things. Just go to people. Like now, instead of buying machinery worth maybe 200,000 naira, rent for 2,000 naira. Or the product you claim you want to market, all right? Repackage and market. People are already manufacturing it. I hope you are getting what I'm going to explain. Go to them, buy from them first. And then make sure you actually have the market and the ability. Let me tell you another thing. Oh God, please listen to this very well. The Bible said, those who by reason of use, you know, we read that one. Whatever you have not used yourself in, you get my point? What you have not practiced, don't deceive yourself that you can do it. Because of the kind of business my wife does, you know, she meets a lot of people and all of that. One day she said, they offered her a contract somewhere. There's one new hotel in town, and they want to kit their staff, you know, uniform and all of that, and describe is that. So the man who runs the place said whether she can supply them the uniform and everything. So she was excited and she told me about it. She just told me, just told my face, say why? I said, when did you become a tailor? I said, listen, the rule does not change just because the business is big. I said, the rule is simple. This is Pastor Banky's rule of spiritual, economic empowerment and development strategy. Another strategy. The business you don't know about, don't do it except you are ready to learn it. I hope you've written that one down before. Any business you don't know very well, don't do it except you are ready to what? Learn. Because they will sell your trouser before they leave you alone if you try that. No matter how simple it looks on the surface, don't be tempted. The business you don't know, don't do except you are ready to do what? Learn. If you are not, don't. What am I ready to learn? Ready to learn means that you will take time out. If you lose money now, you won't run. That's part. I told you everything has value. The money you lost now, you use it to buy a lesson. Did you hear what I said? The money you lost now, you use it to do what? You use it to buy a lesson. So you haven't really lost anything. My favorite example, many years ago, a friend of mine said, Banky, let's buy a car. I said, what do we need one for? We have the ones we are driving. He said, no, it's a Lexus. I said, buy a Lexus. He said, it's going for only 300,000 naira. I said, what are we going to do with it? He said, we won't drive it. We will sell it. I said, no problem. This is Dr. So-and-so number. He's a car dealer. Call him. Talk to him. He said, you're not interested? I said, no, I'm not interested. I am not interested at all. Truly, that car that time, the value was like 2 million naira if it was a fresh Tacoma. Maybe used in Nigeria a bit. Dropped it at 1.5, 1.2. All right? Someone selling for 300,000 naira. If you rock it off cheap, maybe you sell it for 600,000 naira, you make money. Sounds very simple. Why didn't you ask yourself, why didn't he sell it for 600,000 naira? Why is he selling it for 300,000? Do I know the answer? No, and I don't care. You know why I don't know the answer anyway? It's because it's not my business. It's not the business that I do. And I'm not willing to learn to trade in cars, therefore I won't even, I just don't, look, go and meet that person. When my wife mentioned it to me that day, I said, such things, you know what they do? She said, what? I mentioned two people's names that we know that are so close for people. I said, call them. And you know, like I always say, you are not the only one God wants to bless. They may have offered you that job because God wants to send it to those two other people. I told my wife simply, call one of them, say, you, come. I know you used to do business like this. He says, yes, say, follow me. Let me link you up to a business. I'm not guaranteeing anything. They offered it to me. I don't know about it. I know there's something that's very common in Enugu. Everybody wants a cut. You don't need a cut. It's not your business. You don't need a cut. It is not your business. Link the people and walk away. Listen, that car thing, let me give an illustration. One day, I went to Lagos. I went to buy a car. That was then for my dad. So, the guy who I was buying the car from, he drove up a car. He said, Banky, may I dash you this car? I said, yeah, make me an offer now. He said, 400,000. A Honda Hala, you know what they call Honda Hala? I said, 400,000 naira. He said, yes. Give me 400K, the car is yours. There is one guy who just drove it in from Cotonou, you know, one of these maybe customs men and all that. So he registered it, but he wants to sell the car. You know, my mouth watered. Though I am not a Japanese man, but 400,000 for this car. That time, man, I knew that the car was actually, one of my colleagues that does that business sold one a few weeks before for 700,000. So I said, are you serious? He said, yes, 400,000, the car is yours. Although I didn't have 400K, but I was interested. This was many years ago in the business. Even though I knew my rule, the business you don't know, don't do. I said, you are ready to learn. But that one, it was not a big deal anyway, because I didn't invest money in anything. I just said, why are you saying 400,000? Let me drive you back home now. I'll give it to one of my guys. He'll sell it. You make a higher amount of money. He said, just give me my 400K. I said, no problem. So he gave me the car, gave me the papers. This was in Lagos. Boom! Ignited the car. Instead of coming back the way I went to Lagos by bus, I drove a Honda all the way from Lagos to Enugu. So I took it to the office one day. I drove the car around town for about 2 weeks or so before I went back to Lagos, which was actually a blessing. God used that car to bless me, though I returned it to the owner. Let me tell you what happened. Now, just to illustrate what I'm saying, I parked the car, so I told my colleague that, look, there's one Honda Hala, one of my friends want to sell, and it's going very cheap, so you should just sell it, and then bring the money, I give the owner the 400K, me and him will share the balance on top of it. He said, no problem. So that day, I drove the car to work. I said, it's a fresh token, but that they just did for a few days in Lagos. I told the story that idiot told me. Why? Because I don't know anything about it. So as soon as he, being an experienced car dealer, now one day I parked and I saw him upstairs. I said, oh, the car is downstairs. He just came out. No. He was waiting when I drove in. He saw the car, saw the plate number. As soon as I came upstairs, he said, God, this car was registered 2 years ago. One glance. He said, that's an Ikeja number. We stopped using that plate. He gave me the... You know, this is his business. He just looked at the number. He said, that plate is 2 years old. I said, eh. Tadika, well, he looked at it. Not bad, but it's not worth more than that 400,000. He said, oh, guys, it's not a good car. He looked at it around, kicked this place, showed me one or two things. He said, oh, God, forget the car. He said, 400K, you want to drive it? That if I want to drive it and I want to pay 400,000 for it, that it's not bad. But anything more than that, I should forget it. Because it's a business he knew. That was why, before then, when they say, because I learned the lesson long ago. That's why that one I wasn't going to put my money. Just because, let me just drive it. And then, when he finished the whole story, I said, no wahala. When next I was going to Lagos, I started the car again. Zoom. And drove it back to Lagos. And the good Lord ensured that car didn't even leave me stranded somewhere near Ore. Because at Ore, something spoiled in the car, I did not know. I powered that car to Lagos with my battery, I did not know. The alternator wasn't working. It was next morning I started the car. The car refused to move. I found out that the alternator died long ago. The battery finally died in the morning after I slept overnight in Lagos. Now I gave the guy back his keys. May the Lord bless you and keep you. Let his face shine upon you. You and your Honda Hala. Go. That's when the guy started telling the story. The story changed. Cut a long story short. It was not a fresh token, but nothing. He wanted to fling the car on a mugun like me. And because I wasn't really willing to invest in the business, that was why God delivered me. Listen, don't ever forget that thing. Because, you see, temptations are tempting. Please, turn to somebody. Tell the person that's why it's called a temptation. They are tempting. As long as you live here tomorrow morning, watch, they will bring a business for you. You say, 10 trips of sand. Only 30,000. What you don't know is that, number one, it's not much more expensive in town, because to you, when you see trucks passing 10 times, you think it must be 1 million. Don't worry. That's why 419 people catch people. Temptations are tempting. One rule is simple. Any business you don't know, please don't do it except you are ready to learn. Next one, even when you are ready to learn, make sure you start small. You don't start with your whole life. Very important. Even when you are ready to learn, make sure you do what? You start small. Even if it looks nice and lucrative, make sure you start small. Don't maintain a heavy inventory on things you don't know about. Are you getting what I'm going to explain? That is why each person must develop the area of his skill. You know, one of my friends in the Lord, one day he wrote a book, or I sent the book to me to help him read and all of that. He gave him a lot of corrections. After he wrote the book, he bought a book on publishing. And then one day he sent me a text. He says, "Sir, I bought a book on publishing. And I must confess, I think you're a genius." You hear what I said? He told me things I'm a genius. I told him, "Why won't I be a genius?" You know what I mean? Because, funny enough, you know, I never read any book on publishing. So, why did I know about publishing? Number one, because I've been writing books for a long time. Started printing, publishing and printing them a few years ago. Because of that, any time I pick a book, one day my wife went in Benin. She went into the market in Benin. She went into a bank. So I was waiting where I parked. By the time she came out, she saw I bought a book. One man was hawking books up and down the road. So I bought the book. She picked up the book. She said, "I know you don't want to read this book. I know you bought it because of the printing and the binding." I said, "Thou has well spoken. Till today, I have not..." You know the kind of books your husband reads or your wife reads? You know, this kind of forgetting your past, how to leave the past behind and go forward. She knows that I don't read. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. If you have past to forget, go ahead. But I think I forgot mine long ago. I can't forget the work I've done for the Lord in the last few years. Do you know what I'm saying? So she saw the book and said, no. This man, I know him. And because she's noticed that, that's how, if you give me a book, those days, I'm cooler now. First thing I do is pick it up. Check the back. Turn it around. Check the binding. This is wax. This stitch it, you know. Look, by giving me a book, I can tell you this was printed in Nigeria. It was printed in Belarus. In fact, that Belarus one, I don't miss it. I just look at the pages and look at the binding. I said, "This one's from Print Corp, Belarus." Said, "This is Nigerian print." I said, "No, the only book..." He said, "It's from Nigeria." I said, "No, only Academic Press does this." And get my point, I get it 9 times out of 10. Does this? Anytime I pick a book, that is, I'll pull it, I've checked. No, it's reflex. Said, "The paper, no, Nigerians, we don't use this paper to print. Only Bishop Oyedepo does this one in Nigeria. I don't even know where he prints, whether he uses his press." That is, it's instinctive. People are buying magazines, say, Oprah, my owner have counted the number of pages. Checked, is it full gloss? Is it full cover laminated? Those are the things that I check. Why? Because of ministry. You understand my point? Over time. So now I can value a book. The cost of printing. I pick a book. I say, "How much?" They are printing this one for you. I say, "300 naira a copy." "For how many?" "For 1,000. I said, "The guy is a thief." I instantly give you, "Look, go back, tell him this. Tell him you will pay this, but you will pay this amount if he does the amount of..." How do I know? Because when I go to the press, I will sit down, we'll discuss. Tell me how to count, you know. We start from A4, A1, fold it twice, it becomes A2, fold it one more time, A3. I know how they do all those things. So when a young friend of mine wanted to write a book, he will call me, I'll tell him, just, you know, be telling things off the cuff like that. So when he now bought a book on publishing and printing, everything he read there, he found out that I'd already told him. So he said that this guy must be a genius. I'm not a genius, nothing. It is just that this is my, what? Business. Therefore, I have become skilled in it. Do you follow my point? Other things, I don't know. Therefore, I don't dabble into. Listen, you keep learning. That's why I said that any business you don't know, please don't do. Except your plan is what? To learn. And even when you are ready to learn, you must, as a rule, start small. Let me end with this because I want to close now. Let's take a few questions and then we'll go. Don't forget this one. If I will take up to 15 minutes on this. I said something before. This is very important. Genesis chapter 1. He said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth, subdue it, and have what? Dominion. Whatever you want to do in life, your plan must be what? Your ultimate vision must be what? Dominion. Your ultimate vision must be dominion. Let me tell you how Satan's disciples behave. Once this business is big enough, I buy some shares, I lock it there, I buy land, I do this, at least I'm secure for the rest of my days. Because of only you, stock market will collapse, land price will collapse, community will revoke their land, that is, government will revoke land because of only you, if you do that as a child of God. The Bible says concerning the kingdom of God, it says what? Of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. You must never, ever, ever plan to put an end to your increase. Develop that mentality from the beginning. You started with a primary school. Even if God says your vision is primary school, then that primary school must keep enlarging, enlarging, enlarging. One in Enugu, one in Abakaliki, or two in Enugu. What's wrong with three in Enugu? One in Abakaliki, one down to Nsukka, Ojiriba, Oka. Keep going, keep going, keep going. If God doesn't cap you at primary school, then as they are leaving, push them into your secondary school. Maybe along the line, we'll talk about the fear of death. The fear of death is the reason why people don't increase. They feel like we don't balance now. Because when you are going to leap to the next level, it will appear like you are going to die. Let me give it to you now. Remember to tell yourself, if I perish, I perish. It's a safer way to live. Do you understand? Than trying not to perish. And according to Helen Keller said, those who face the danger like that, ultimately they are not at a greater risk than those who hide away from it. No, in fact, the way she says it is the other way around. She said, those who avoid danger, ultimately they are not safer than those who just face it head on. And there's something about prosperity in life. It's a spiritual thing. You lose material things to come back. And if you handle it with thanksgiving, it comes back double. You hear what I said? You lose material things, what happens? It comes back. You handle it properly, it comes back what? Double. You really don't lose anything in life. Material things. The only people that lose material things permanently are those who are cursed by God. And even though they try to hold it, they will still lose it anyway. What am I going to say? You must plan for increase. You must plan for excellence. The issue of excellence and skill and all that, we'll discuss that one maybe next weekend, all right? Let me just stop on this one. You must plan for increase. Next week I'll talk about integrity, excellence, how these things work in practical terms. That's when we'll talk about how to take loss. Sometimes you do things, you lose money, close your eyes, take the loss and keep on moving. But the one I want to say right now is that you must plan for what? Increase. Of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. One day I went somewhere, I wanted to give a friend of mine, let me just color it a bit. Let's assume that I saw a man preaching, all right? And I didn't like the way he was dressed. And I said that, okay, let me buy him some clothes. So I said, okay. How much did they cost? Instantly. The guy just told me, that's there and then. For this, it will cost this. This one, it will cost this. It just gave me a rapid breakdown, gave me the total cost on the spot. If I call somebody, give me that book. Open this, show me the whole thing. Good enough, I had money. I said, okay, come, let us go. Walked over to an ATM, drew the money, and gave it to me. Okay, now effect it. Before the end of that day, it was done. What am I going to say? Did he have the money? No. But in his mind, he had received the breakthrough. In his mind, he had planned for it. He said, if this were to happen, this will happen. This will happen. This is what we are going to do. So when I just came up and the Spirit of God moved me, said, Banky, meet this need. He didn't even tell me there was a need. I just observed it. It's like somebody walking up and say, ah, Pastor, please, how much will it cost to do this backdrop? And there was none then. And I just said, hey, please, give me that sheet of paper. And I just gave the person a quick breakdown. That was the same thing they did to me. This is the interesting thing. I ended up paying double what I had planned for. Because the whole thing was so well set out that I didn't know how to break it halfway. I don't know what I get on. It'd be like, say, you buy a person's shirt, you know, put trousers, put, and the guy is naked. Do you understand what I'm going to explain? It was that kind of thing. So I just had to struggle personally and add the rest of the money and just make the thing complete. What am I saying? You must enlarge first where? In your mind. And I'll give you one practical way to enlarge. Before I give you the practical way, how many of you ever read this book? Richest Man in Babylon. The man Akkad planned, he wanted to be rich, so somebody, a man taught him how to be. But how did he become very rich? The man that taught him eventually employed him because he saw his skill. And then, when the man died, he left a chunk of his estate to him as an inheritance. Are you getting my point? Why did the man become rich? Was it because he was lucky just like that and somebody gave him the inheritance? No. It was because in his heart, he had planned for riches and he had exercised himself. So when that man saw him, he therefore gave him the opportunity. And I told you in life, you also will be lucky. You know that our word luck is our way of expressing the true word is actually blessed. You also will be blessed. Blessing means that something bigger than what you have planned for will one day come upon you. But you must plan for something. Are you getting my point? I am not saying that this is how you will reach the ultimate in life. Listen to me, one day one bank will pursue you and beg you with a loan that is too good to refuse, in which God will commit them to help you. Thank you very much. You mind saying the amen? It will happen. But before you get there, this is what I want to say. There's a tip I gave to my wife in, I still remember when she started doing business. It was after she resigned from her work and was just taking care of her boy at home. Somebody said that, how's madam? Say she's fine. Where does she work? Say, I went to the bank, I don't see her there anymore. I said, well, she doesn't work there anymore. Where does she work now? I said, well, she works at home. She takes care of me and my son. And I said, good. I'm sure she would like to do Mary Kay cosmetics business. I said, oh, selling? She said, I said, my wife would like that. And that's how she started doing business. But I can assure you that her asset and capital business, everything, how do they put it now? Put together. Since that time, must have gone up, I was going to say more than tenfold. I actually meant to say more than 30-fold. And I can't remember anywhere along the line that there was another injection of capital. How did it happen? I'll tell you. Of course, number one is that, like I told you, learn to abyss. So at the beginning, I wasn't eating the money from her sales, neither was she eating it. And do you follow what I'm saying? And it's that principle I thought I want to teach you now. That the rule, this was what I told her. Seed for the sower and bread for food. Can you remember that? I said, one, you do your accounts regularly and from your profit, you break the money into three things. One, you sow spiritual seeds. Two, you take bread for food. But three, and most importantly, that always took half. You sow what? Physical seed. You put it back into the business. Warren Buffett did that over years and one day became the richest man in the world. This is the principle of increase. Every seed bears what? Fruit. And every fruit has what? Seed in itself. That's what the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1. Every seed does what? Bears fruit. And every fruit has what? Seed in itself. This is how you multiply. You plant the seed, it bears fruit. Then you take the fruit, take seed out of the fruit, and do what? And plant it again. The problem with people is what the Bible calls the complacency of fools. Go to Proverbs chapter 1. Every time since, using my wife as an example, in fact, I've told her several times, where you are going to, what you really want to do in life, you haven't started it yet. It's not just to fill the time. I have blessed her with a blessing, which is so great that even me, I'm humbled. I respect the manifestation of it when it will come. No, you know, I've told you that one day somebody, look, I know this one for sure. One day my wife will say, my husband, your birthday is next week. We don't do accounts. I think let's buy you a Lamborghini. Though I don't like Lamborghinis, that's just to talk. I don't like sports cars generally. I don't know where I'm running to. What I like is what? Luxury. They don't like. You know, sports cars, have you ever sat on the seat of a sports car? It's hard. They make it very, very stiff. You know, it's supposed to keep you upright and, you know, agile. They don't want you to slip off. I don't like that. I like what? Luxury. You know what I mean? I'm not running anywhere. I'm not in a hurry. But anyway, I believe that very strongly. One day I read the story of one Mary Kay lady in America. She bought a brand new car for her husband on his birthday because of the check he gave her at the beginning to start the business. Do you understand my point? So I know that one for sure. So my wife will just look one day and say, husband, next week is your birthday. What thing would you give me? They just say, in the morning, just hear, pam, pam, pam. I will look outside. You see one monstrosity tagged with balloons flying happy birthday pastor on top of it to my pastor and husband. And it will not be from family finances. It will be that her business signed a check and paid somebody and they dropped the car in my house. Do you get my point? Yeah, no, I believe in such things. I can take it for granted. In this life, I can never be poor. I can never be average. I have blessed too many people. Do you understand my point? One day, because of you, I'll go and move to a big house with a big compound. He said, pastor, what are you doing? I said, can't you see the cars? They are dashing me. Where do we park it? So that one is for sure. All right? But okay. Now, so I believe that very strongly. But the point I'm making is that I know he's going to get there. But this principle, I believe it works very well. You receive money, it goes into three groups. Especially when you are starting, the one that is smallest of all must be bread for food. You know, we started that, we explained that one at the beginning. Don't forget that. Don't put pressure on your business at the beginning. Anyway, I don't want to go over it. Learn how to abase. Do you understand my point? Yes, a time will come. The Bible says when the crop permits, he puts in the sickle because the harvest has come. You will know when the crop permits. Until then, sow seeds essentially. It's very important. We'll discuss that. Well, it's not. Go and listen to our series, what they call Your Money. There we'll discuss how to sow spiritual seeds. I'm not going to discuss that in detail, but it's so important. All these great men you hear of this day in this world, they also do it. Warren Buffett, it's a major part of their work, doing charity work. You must sow spiritual seeds out of your fruit. Now, I talked about one word I just wanted to read. That's, where is it now? Proverbs chapter 1, verse 32. It said, for the waywardness of the naive shall kill them, and the complacency, if you have a King James, you say prosperity, and the complacency of fools shall destroy them. You know what's complacency there? One Bible uses the word prosperity, and that one uses the word complacency. I studied the literal Hebrew actually says prosperity, but it meant one thing. That is, when a man prospers and sits down, David said, I said in my prosperity, I will never be moved. I hope you get my point. That's what he's describing. That when a fool prospers to a level and feels he's secure and he does not have to go further, so that's what kills him. Do you understand the point? That is why in life, I have arrived must never come out of your mouth. In Jesus' name, it must never come out of your mouth. You're always on the journey. Until you die, you ain't arriving at nothing. Do you get my point? The day God gives you money and you've made a profit for the year and it's 1 billion naira, don't celebrate. You say, okay, so what next are we supposed to do? We have conquered the kingdom of maybe education. Now we want to conquer it further. We want to consolidate our victory. But the money is so plenty, that means there's something else that God wants us to do. You saw this man talking yesterday, Muhammad Yunus. He started with the Grameen Bank. Along the line, the thing worked so well, they realized that people can help people with telephone. They started with their telephone, gramming telephone again. From there, they went into supplying solar power, went into supplying water.